Good morning and welcome to another episode of Under the Helmet. One of the teams that, since I started covering APDFL, that I've always had high hopes for because I know who the head coach, owner is, and I know some of the players, is the Selma City Vikings. I've watched them from afar, and I kind of want to know if this is the year that they make that breakthrough. To join us is the offensive coordinator, Tony Broadnax. Good morning, Tony. How are you?
What's going on, Terry? Good morning.
Now, as I said in the open, the Vikings always seem like they're close, like they're on the precipice of making that jump and that move to a strong playoff run. What gives you the notion that 2021 is the year?
Well, 2021 might be our year. We can get we've got to regroup. Last weekend we lost one of our offensive linemen to senseless murder. We also have guys going in and out of the rotation at all points in time. We just got to get our chemistry straight amongst the offensive line. If we can do that, then yeah, we're gonna have a breakthrough year.
Now, I saw a video or a training tape of Justin Chappelle. Is he returning to Selma City?
No, I think Justin is going to the Wolf Pack. I think he moved on to the Wolf Pack. It is one of those things. It's just one of those things where I guess he felt like his talent was being wasted, or somebody put in his head that his talent was being wasted, and he felt like he could do better somewhere else.
Now, you have a roster of young, hungry players. Who is one that we should definitely look out for on offense?
On offense? Well, I'm not going to tell you that. I'm going to keep that a secret because I'm going to put it like this. He wears Justin's number.
Fair. Is there more than one player that will shock and surprise us?
I think so. We got this young quarterback. Well, he's not really young, but he's young to the game. Martell Richardson. Martell has always been that quarterback when he comes into the game. Everybody holler, "Oh, they got the running quarterback in, the running quarterback in." Martell is taking that next step where he's trying to learn the passing game, and he's starting to throw the ball a lot better than he ever has been.
What keeps you coming back to coaching every year? What is it about the draw and the lure of coaching that makes all this practice, headache, drama worthwhile?
Well, I tell you what. It's the people. Because I was one of these kids that didn't get looked at by these big colleges and all of that stuff that I actually do it for them. The people on my roster, I keep the semi-pro team going for them. You probably didn't know this, but I used to own the team in Montgomery, the Montgomery Noles, or the South Alabama Seminoles, however you want to call it. I used to own that team as well. I had a press load of kids come through there, and they all was pretty good. We just try to keep this same function going every year because these kids can stay out of the street. Give them a platform to do what they know for doing. If you was a high school 1A kid going to play football and no scouts ever came to look at you, you probably think you was worthless and went out there in the street and did whatever. But nah, we're going to give you a second chance. We're going to give you a second chance to do whatever you want to do in life.
What is it about head coach / owner Chuck Morgan that makes him a good head coach? What is it about his style, his mind, that makes this work?
Well, I'm gonna say this. Chuck isn't for everybody. He's not for everybody. Not only is Chuck the head coach / owner, he is also one of my best friends. And again, he's not for everybody. Everybody can't take Chuck. Hence why we got a lot of players that leave Montgomery and Selma and Tonka, wherever this main area, go play for other teams because they feel like they can't deal with Chuck. Because Chuck is going to give it to you straight off the top. He's going to give it to you all liquor, no chaser. He's going to give it to you. He's going to tell you the straight up, honey, fact. If you don't like it, you get no. You got some superstars, some players that think they're superstar players that don't want to hear the truth, don't want to hear the real about themselves. They'd rather go play for a coach that's going to boost them up and tell them, oh, yeah, you're the best thing since sliced bread. If you're not coming to practice, you're not coming to work hard, Chuck is going to cuss you out to your face and tell you, I need you to do well. I need you to get here. I need you to participate in practice. I need you to do what you need to be doing. And most guys don't get that. They'd rather go play for a coach that's going to allow them to show up on Saturday and just play football.
With so many teams in semi-pro in Alabama, do you think there are too many teams in the state? And how many would you think would be a prime number just to cut off the limit at?
Truthfully, it should be four teams in this state. Four teams in this state. And if we did have less teams, the quality of teams in this state would be really, really good. Because you have a wealth of talent just in the state of Alabama. I mean, when I say a wealth, I mean a wealth of talent. Just even here in Montgomery, Selma, I mean, you have a lot of talent. But we got cats that they just, yeah, you right down the street from us, but you rather go to Birmingham and play and get coached up by somebody else. Well, go ahead. Tyrone Graham was from Montgomery. Tyrone played for me, I want to say in the 08-09 season, right before the private paper started up. Half of that private, people don't understand that most of that private paper team was my team. The offensive coordinator, slash head coach, whatever you want to call him, Billy Davis, though half of my team ran off the property with him over a lie that I fired that day. That's another story for another day.
Now,
yeah.
Do you think that it is the blame of the modern player, or do you think it's the blame of the coaching, where there's a disconnect between the coach-player relationship as far as building a cohesive unit, or do you think that one side should bear the brunt of the fault?
Well, I think it's really both, because you got old school coaches and you got new school players. Old school coaches want you to do things their way. New school players, they see football in a whole different light than we saw it when we were coming up playing football. Me and myself, I play every position on the field except punter or kicker. But you can't get players these days to even try to step out of their boundaries or go over to the other side of the ball to see if they can play. And the ones that do that, it actually showcases a whole other skill in their life, like Kawaski Ward. Most people don't understand Kawaski was a receiver at first, when he first came into the league. He was a wide receiver. Kawaski stepped on the defensive side of the ball with Chuck, and he broke out. But you got some guys that's in the mind frame, oh, I'm a wide receiver, that's all I'm going to be. I come to play wide receiver. I come to play running back. You might not be good at running back. You might not really be good at wide receiver. Try something else. You might be perfect for something else. I get a whole lot of linemen that will leave me because I want them to play tackle and not tight end. Well, if you play tight end, you're basically another tackle. You just sometimes go out on the route. You still got to stay in the block. You still have to block downfield. But they don't get that concept. They want to be out, split, running outfield, trying to catch a 10 and 15 yard curl. Why not help the team? That's what we need.
Do you?
So
Do you think that coaches should not just recruit harder, but recruit smarter?
When you say recruit smarter, by what means or method do you mean?
Like, if they have certain needs at certain spots, like focus not just on the best athlete available, but focus on being able to build roster depth.
That would be a great solution. But again, you have to build your team around a core player. If you can't keep a core player, that's a perfect example, the Blackhawks. The only difference between the Blackhawks and the Dynasty is the core. The core of the Dynasty team is 65 players. The core of the Blackhawks team is about 25 players. So you always got steady rotational players coming into the Blackhawks that want to be champs, they want to compete. Well, you didn't beat them. You haven't been there 2 and 3 years. You probably won't be there 2 or 3 years. You come in 1 year, then you gone. Because it didn't work that 1 year, now you're out of there. Now you're going to play with the Wolfpack. Now you're going to play with the State. Now you're going to play with 2 or 3 other teams that's in the Birmingham area because you didn't get a chance to start, and now you're upset. That's the only difference between the Blackhawks and the Dynasty. That and practice.
When you look at the Vikings schedule, there are games that it looks as though the Vikings can attempt to make a run. Are there any particular game that you're looking most forward to?
Oh, man. I think the game that would really put us on the map is the Crescent City King. The Crescent City King would really put us on the map. Also, we've never been to Tuskegee in this league. So, to beat Tuskegee in this league here would actually give us a real good jolt. A real good jolt in our mindset. You know, get some comfortable up on that guy. Let's see. Who else is on there?
I have it in front of me. You start at the Classic with the Atlanta Tigers, then you go to the Airmen, Jets, Predators, Cobras, 49ers, Blackhawks, Crescent City, Wolfpack, and Raptors. Now, when you look at teams like the 49ers, the Raptors, do you think that the strength of your defense will carry you through some of these games?
Yes. We have a defense last year. We played 3 games last year. 3 full games. Our rushing defense gave up negative 65 yards. If you don't believe me, go back and watch the tape. Our defense gave up negative rushing, negative 65 yards. Our passing defense, we gave up major points because we had lapses in coverage. We had mental breakdown, but we're hoping to fix all of that this year and hopefully we won't have those problems. So we're definitely living on our defense a lot, even though our offense is putting in the most work, I think, at practice. I think our offense is really dug in and we're going to get a lot of points put up this year.
Of the returning players, not the breakout ones, but of the core group, who's the leader?
Definitely, what's his real name? I don't want to call it. Warren, he'll be wearing number one. This year, the slot receiver. Warren's our leader on offense. Even though
Warren Wilson.
Warren Wilson. even though Victor is coming back this year, Vic hasn't stepped into the leadership role on offense. He's failed to take control of the team. Vic could be a great quarterback. He just has to be and a great leader. He just has to focus. He doesn't have that focus yet of being that great leader. When he steps on the field, he still has that kid mentality when he wants to come on and play. But Warren Wilson, he's there. He keeps him focused. He keeps whoever in that tub focused on what they're supposed to be doing. And Warren's the biggest help on offense I could ever get. And on the defensive side of the ball, our middle linebacker, we call him Ted. I feel like Ted's many devils. He's trying to get everything moving. And he was a big factor in that with that defense last year.
You guys, it looks as though you Akua Young has returned.
Yes, sir. Akua has returned. Akua's going to be a big factor with us.
Standout defensive tackle.
Mm-hmm. He brings depth to that defensive line. He's going to be a record shot in front of Ted.
I mean, they have, just looking at the roster and knowing the guys that if you can get hot early and piece together some wins, this could be it. And I think that it would go a long way to cementing the Vikings as far as being able to have a strong 2021 and build for the future. That core will get stronger if you see a playoff spot, because all of us who have watched for the last couple of years, we see that it is time. Like, mentally, are you ready for this?
I've been ready, coach. it's a player. I've been ready to start winning. I've been ready to take. I preach this every week in practice. You're only as strong as the guy next to you. If he's not at practice, then you're not as strong. You're not as strong as you think. If he's not
now,
at practice, getting better each and every practice, you're not as good as you think.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong. You are a Miami fan. No, Chuck's a Miami fan. You don't cheer for Miami, do you?
No. I cheer for Miami, but I'm an Alabama fan.
Now, Chuck and I go back and forth because I'm a North Carolina fan, and they had two players this year to run for 200 yards apiece on that Miami defense in the same game. Just saying. One ran for 300, one ran for two. Now, as an Alabama fan, let me ask you one basic question. Do you think, from what you've seen of Mac Jones, do you think that he has what it takes to be a starter at the next level?
A starter? Mac? Yes. He has what it takes to be a starter, but on a bad team, no. On a bad team, because the way they got Mac ranked right now, he might, if he goes late first round, he'll be good. But if he goes anywhere between 1 and 15, I think Mac is going to struggle. And he probably drop to a second string quarterback real quick. I see him, if you don't have the talent around you like they had at Alabama for Mac, he's going to struggle. It's a different look at Tua in Miami. I mean, you need that talent around you to help you win games.
Do you like watching Alabama as long as you have? As Devontae Smith is the most accomplished Alabama wide receiver ever, do you believe that Julio Jones is the best Alabama wide receiver ever?
Facts. Julio is the best wide receiver Alabama's ever had. Don't get me wrong. Nick Saban has changed his format a lot. Nick Saban used to be a run-heavy offense. He's going to ground and pound you. He's going to run the ball first, second, maybe third down. And he's going to take his shots when he took his shots with that team he had with Julio. But this past year, you've never seen an Alabama team like that. You've never seen an Alabama team like the one they just had this past season. A three-headed monster. I'm talking about a quarterback that threw for almost 5,000 yards, a running back that ran for 1,300 yards, another receiver who caught threw the ball 1,300 yards. I mean, you never had it. It was balanced everywhere. You never had it. Even though defense was subpar, or Alabama defense it is, but defense was subpar. You never had a team like that, Alabama. I mean, Alabama team.
Coach Broadnax, I want to thank you so much for joining us. This has been a great episode. I wish y'all the luck at the Classic. Y'all play the Tigers and the Atlanta Tigers in the first game. Best of luck to you. Best of luck to the Vikings. We definitely will reach back and see the progress that y'all have made. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Terry.
This has been another episode of Under the Helmet. Be good to yourselves. Be good to each other.